What do you think of when you hear the word parkour? Some of you are like, what the hell is that? But, you know, there's this, some of you out there are thinking, maybe you remember a scene from The Office where several of the people in the cast decided that they thought that they could do parkour, which involves a lot of jumping, leaping, climbing, and whatnot. And so that scene may ring a bell for you. Maybe I'll see if I can find it for you and play it on the show tonight, so you have a bit of an idea of how hardcore parkour can be. There is a Townships connection in the parkour world, though. I don't know if you guys know that. Patrick Owen, former Townshipper, living in Montreal, has started this crazy, amazing workout regimen that is related to parkour. It's brilliant. It makes absolute perfect sense. And I love it. So, Patrick, tell us the story of how you came to put together this whole concept.
Hey, Sheila, thanks a lot. How did I put parkour together?
Or take it apart.
Let's put it apart. I developed this exercise program. I call it PKX. I take the PK, which PK comes from parkour, and the X actually comes from cross training. It was a beautiful. We're training like crazy at the gym. We're getting an awesome, awesome shape, and then we're saying like, "Great, fantastic. We look good. Now, what do we do with this?" And I was with my buddy Nick Patoka, and I said, "I know exactly what we need to do. We need to go outside and use this functional, because we're doing functional training, which means we're not getting the shape to look great. We're getting the shape in order to do things at optimal performance." So parkour was starting to get popular. There was this movie that came out from France called Yemakazi.
Yes.
It came out in theaters, and I was in Paris when it came out, and I saw it, and I said, oh my God, this is it. I came back, and it wasn't on YouTube yet, but it was growing fast, and it was popular. I showed it to him, and that's it. We started going outside.
So tell me about, for those who haven't seen Yemakazi, tell the audience about what went on in that movie. Like, what does parkour consist of?
Parkour, by definition, is finding the most efficient way from point A to point B by navigating obstacles in the most fluent way, right? And this is kind of like, it's a lifestyle philosophy, really, because if you're thinking of these sidewalks and these buildings and these alleyways, and like, this is all directing traffic, it tells you, when you look at a ramp or a staircase, it's telling the people, this is the way that you should go. And so parkour is saying, like, this might be the way to go, but it's not the most efficient way to get to where I want to go.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you remember, you're going to La Ronde and you have to go back and forth with these banisters in order to get to the teller or to the person. I mean, a traceur is someone who does parkour, will just, like, that's inefficient, and they'll just hop and duck and, you know, jump over these things in order to get to where he's going. And, of course, that's the kind of philosophy that traceurs have in life. These obstacles are not obstacles if you can maneuver them in such a flowy way. Right?
It's off the air, before we started the interview, I was telling you that as a kid, that was what I dreamt. Not even as a kid. Growing up, as a child, as a young adult, whatever, what I dreamt about was running down a staircase, jumping out a window, like launching myself onto a fire escape, being like, you know, maneuvering up onto a roof, scaling whatever. It was, so when I first saw these parkour videos, which is spelled P-A-R-K-O-U-R for anybody out there who wants more information about it, or wants to just watch clips, and I was just amazed. And actually, it was kind of funny. There's a Madonna video. I think it's Jump. Jump has some pretty interesting bits of parkour in it. Oh, man.
And the most famous parkour scene is the beginning of Casino Royale with James Bond.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. And then it's like the superstar. His name is Sébastien Foucault from France. He's one of our top guys.
Now you've given us a bit of a description of it. You've told us about seeing this on film. And so, you know, you talk about it, you mention it to friends and who were also involved in training and whatnot. Now, how do you get to PKX?
All right, well, what you were describing as a kid, right? You were saying, like, you just look around, you just want to hop through things. I think we all go through those kids.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like a rediscovery of this wonderment that we experienced, right? So being able to do a cartwheel, handstands, all these kind of things, and looking not in front of you, but looking up and around, all of a sudden the world becomes a 3D kind of world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does this become? In order to do parkour, you need to be in pretty good shape. But you don't need to be like in awesome, awesome shape. We're going to do that for you. That's what we're here to do, right? So when we give a course, about 20 minutes or 30 minutes is an intensive functional body workout.
Okay.
And it's a challenge. So that's going to make you stronger in order to pull yourself up. Like say if there's a tall wall that's way higher than you, 12, 15 feet up, and you need to scale it. A lot of people might jump, put a foot up on the wall, and be able to get the top of that wall, but they won't be able to pull themselves up and over.
Right.
So it's important in order to have the strength to develop that. So we do a lot of pull-ups. We do a lot of jumping. We do a lot of burpees. You guys remember burpees from gym class?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, we do burpees. That is one of the best whole body exercises. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. But I love them because they work.
Yep. I gotcha.
And
I think that that's the sort of thing that, as much as they're not fun to do, that over time, it's about building up the ability to do it. So okay. So you've got people. It's part of a workout. It is a workout.
But it's a different kind of a workout because people are rediscovering things that they've never knew that they could do. We had a couple of girls in our class who couldn't do a pull up. Most girls can't, right? We created monsters out of these girls. These girls started coming, going to the gym, and going outside regularly, outside of class time. And now they're able to do a muscle up. Now a muscle up is a pull up that is so explosive that you end up being on top of the bar, above the bar. I've never seen girls do that. I'm mind blown. It's crazy. I mean, yeah, us guys, we can do it. I mean, it's a difficult move to master, but
mm-hmm.
No, we seriously. When people see results, they see them fast because of this program.
Wow.
And it's fun. It's different all the time. We don't follow a set. I know we do a lot of exercises over and over and over again, but it's never the same thing. It's always in different sets. Like this time we're going to do a lot of running. This time we're going to do a lot of burpees and squats and push-ups and pull-ups. And we incorporate, we go outside. We do our training outside. So there's your gym membership. It's free.
Wow.
And we use walls and rails and stairs. We look like monkeys. We look ridiculous. But the rule is, you look ridiculous if you're doing it on your own. But if you're a whole group of people, you're kind of like, oh, something's happening here.
There's a whole group of monkeys over there.
We are monkeying around. We are walking like monkeys with our hands and feet on the ground, crawling up and down stairs and.
I just love it. I want to see this happen. Like this is so. Right now, you're based out of Montreal.
Yeah.
And how are you working this? How do your classes work? How do people find you? How did you put this together?
Oh, well, for the last 2 years, we were actually offering at McGill University, but on the West Island at the McDonald campus.
Yep.
And during the winter time, we go inside. They have these yoga steps, so we set up the yoga steps, and you know those are vaults, and we have. Different obstacles that we'll just make up, right? And in the spring and the summertime, that's when we just have every single class outside. But recently, we brought it downtown. And this is through trainingmobs.com. This is like a Facebook for trainers. You know what a flash mob is? A whole
Yes.
bunch of people just get together. Well, this is the same kind of concept, but people who want to train together just get together.
Wow, that's so smart.
Yeah, so any of the listeners want to check out trainingmobs.com, it's free, join up, start it up in the Eastern Townships. It's a fantastic idea. So the founders, through word of mouth, I was one of the first ones to join and to create a mob that was parkour based. And we've only been doing this for about 6 weeks now, once a week, Sunday mornings, and we are now the most highly attended mob on the site. I mean, think about it. This is the dead of winter, and we're asking people to come outside in gloves. And it's cold out here. It's cold out here, but yet we're the most highly attended mob. People are going to yoga and Pilates and boxing, whatever, nice warm indoors. But there's only two or three mobs. But out here, we're getting numbers in the 12s. Imagine this summer. We've only been doing it for 6 weeks. Imagine the summers. Oh, my God. We're going to be reaching 20, 30 people. I'm sure of it.
Oh, yeah.
This is the key, Sheila. People are checking out parkour on YouTube, and they're looking at it, and it's really intimidating.
Yeah.
People are jumping between, you know, on rooftops, and they think that's what parkour is.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, anyone can do it, and this is what my buddy Nick and I are offering. It's just like step-by-step instructions. We modify it. Wow. You know, it's scary as hell to run towards a wall. Every single nerve in your body is telling you you're running towards a wall. What are you doing? And this is what's so addictive about it, too, is because it's much more mental than it is physical.
Sure. Yeah. It's the whole idea of it's almost like daring yourself to do something. So I guess it's pushing past a certain set of this established kind of thought pattern, and then deciding that I'm going to think this a new way and figure out my point A to point B.
But exactly it. I'll tell you like a really, really quick story. My buddy Nick and I were practicing in Vincennes-Henri. There's a couple of abandoned buildings there, and we don't usually go on rooftops, but this particular day we did. And we're just sitting on the rooftop looking down. And you know the only people that looked up and noticed us were kids.
Right. Wow.
Kids are the only ones that have that sense of wonderment. I go back at it. And now all the students that we're teaching rediscover this wonderment. And this is what the addictive aspect of it is. Now they just can't go for a normal jog. They're jogging and they're looking up, right, left, looking at little alleyways and little railings and ramps and saying, oh, that would be good to jump. Oh, wait, you know. And
oh, man, it's really like, it's really playing, right? It's playing.
It's addictive.
Oh, man. I just love the idea that it's something that you can modify, and it's not all these series of, you know, it's this real ultimate grouping of okay, what are we going to do today? And then think about what you're going to do. Like bring it around, make it new.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. We have all levels of fitness. We have people who have never worked out in their lives, and they just like saw James Bond.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll say to us, listen, I haven't exercised in years. All right, let's see what you can do. And, yeah, it's modifiable. I'm surprised sometimes that people forget how to jump.
I think people get a little bit afraid to jump. They get completely out of practice, and then they're just, like, I think people feel like they're going to look awkward and weird and silly.
I know. Sometimes I just shake my head, though. I'm wondering, you know, just like, I just ask you, just stand in one place and jump as high as you can. And they don't know how to swing their arms and bend their knees and, like, give the power through their legs. I don't know. It's just one of those lost... How can you lose a basic function like that?
Or even just to think about what there is a pretty, like, basic series of steps that you just outlined, you know? Like, the, yeah. If you don't think about those things.
Exactly. Let me teach you what you learned when you were 2 years old.
Hey, no, you're... Meanwhile, back at the...
Pat Cave.
Yes. You have this whole very extensive education background. Tell me about that and how that can contribute to what you're doing now.
Well, my background is actually very in line with parkour and the whole philosophy behind it. I have a PhD in nutrition.
Right.
And I also have a dietary philosophy, very evolution-based. Mm-hmm. So kind of like pre-agricultural kind of thing, right? So if I'm going to move around like an ape, I'm going to eat like an ape.
Okay.
More or less. And this is actually, it comes from my own research. I spent a year and a half in Papua New Guinea looking at their diet.
Okay.
In relation to obesity and diabetes. And I was comparing through different populations. One was in the city. The capital of Papua New Guinea was Port Moresby. And I compared it to a very remote village, right? It took me 6 days to get up there, and I had to trudge all my scientific equipment and my questionnaires and my blood glucose measuring machine. Anyways, when I got to the remote village, not surprisingly, there's not one case of obesity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Per this was going to be my control village. They live a traditional lifestyle with traditional food systems. Perfect. But I was so surprised to find out that 40% of them were diabetic.
Really?
I thought there was something wrong with the machine. I was thinking, no way, there's something wrong with my machine. So I went back to Australia to get a new machine, and I went back to the remote village. Sure enough, I got the same numbers.
You must have been completely dumbstruck.
there goes my project, right?
Yeah.
There goes my thesis. There goes my hypothesis that traditional food systems are healthier for you and whatever. But you know what it was? even though they weren't obese and they had diabetic, it was the white flour that they had that they occasionally ate. They had white flour, they had white rice, and they had sugar.
Yeah.
And they were eating it once in a while, but because this was just introduced to them in this generation, they're just so not used to it. And they developed diabetes within one generation.
Oh, my goodness. That's remarkable.
And they're not eating enough calories, so they're not getting obese.
Oh, my goodness.
So there goes my research. So I'm doing a lot of reading to find out what's going on. And I found out that, yeah, it's all about insulin control and... trying to really reduce your rapidly digested carbohydrates and everything. So I really take an evolutionary approach to nutrition, fitness, and even way of life, attitude, even sleep. Sleep is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's like, I'm just thinking, you know, when you come up with this hypothesis and take it to that level, like that distance, that physical distance, that effort, you know, whatever, and then have to go back and with new equipment because your findings are screwed up, and then realize that it's not your findings that are screwed up, those are the findings, and like it, but that's I think how some breakthroughs are born, really, you know, like, so as much as it may have put a serious kibosh on what your initial plan of action was as far as your document and research goes, it must have brought you in a completely interesting direction as well.
Oh yeah, exactly. And I came back with I like to practice what I preach or what I write my thesis on. Yeah, so since then I've really cut down on grains. I don't really necessarily follow a low carb diet, but definitely full of lean meats, organically grown meats, vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds. That's basically most of what I eat.
Wow. So so you've got there's this whole nutritional background that you're not just educated in, but you're living, and now there's this whole parkour thing that is really, you know, if you think about yourself, like between what ages would you've lived in the townships?
What was I? That was Sejep.
So during those, during those years of having a chance to experience more of a, like, I don't know, you've had a chance to be a part of a bunch of different areas of the world, you know, like,
yeah.
And so bringing that all together, this is something that can be done anywhere. These lifestyle choices when it comes to nutrition and PKX, I think we need a townships.
I agree.
We need home base, man.
We're gonna get up there. Yeah, we're gonna get up there once in a while. We're gonna get training mobs up there, and we're gonna start a revolution.
I love it, Patrick Owen. Thank you.
My pleasure, Sheila.
So great. Okay, so I didn't let him go completely. Patrick Owen, are you ready for the final four? I don't know if anybody's ready.
I was born ready.
All right. Well,
that's a line actually from Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Awesome movie.
80s so child, good.
Yeah. Heck yes. All right, what would you say is your greatest strength?
My smile, can't you tell? No, just kidding.
I can remember.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, it's my positive outlook on everything.
Ooh.
And I think that comes with age too. You just care less and less about things, and you just look at the good things in life.
That's really, really true. I couldn't agree more. All right, what would you say is your greatest weakness?
That's actually hard to tell, isn't it? Interview style, I would have said mine. I'm so busy with work. I'm a workaholic. But no, I think my greatest weakness is, what would my greatest weakness be? You know what? I'll say it. A little bit of insecurity. A little bit of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite candy?
Peanut butter, chocolate, kind of like the Reese's Pieces kind of things.
All right.
And if it's an ice cream, well, that's horrible.
What would you say is your... What would you like to be remembered for? That's the final of the final four.
I'd like to be remembered for changing something in someone's life, for affecting them. It's basically how... If I helped you get a better outlook on life, I gave you a better body. I gave you more knowledge. That's what I'd like to be remembered for.
I want all of those things.
Yeah. My gravestone, by the way, will be a large, large wall, and all it would say was, climb me if you can.
Awesome. Patrick Owen, PKX. People need to know about this. I'm going to put up links like crazy. Thank you for being on DH Radio.
My pleasure, Sheila.